Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, show dedicated to discussion involving the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Joined, as always, by my great co-host, Mr. Brent Beard. Brent, longtime college football analyst for First Coast News, among others, down in Jacksonville, Florida. But Brent, we're going to get things going live on this Tuesday night with some discussion about the number one hoops league in all of collegiate athletics, and of course being the Southeastern Conference.
Tell you what, and I know you remember this too, wasn't that long ago where we were at this time of the year when we were looking at the SEC schools and the Big Dance, and Trav, it was Kentucky and maybe what, one or two more?
It was a lot of NIT. Back in the day.
Yes, it was.
Boy, that sounds like a long time ago when you invoke NIT. Mm-hmm. Seems like decades ago now in terms of that tournament. But yeah, it was probably more NIT discussion, or as much NIT discussion it was NCAA tournament discussion. It's amazing when you think about the ACC for all of its lore and how much I've enjoyed that league in the hoops over the years. Looking at probably three teams in the NCAA tournament. And we're talking about the SEC with 12, maybe 13. Looks like almost a sure bet at this point, Brent, to set a new NCAA tournament record in terms of league invites and, you know, those type of things at 12 or 13.
I'll tell you what, the intrigue about the SEC tournament, I mean, we know about what the top 4 to 5 teams, but the real intrigue here is with, and when we're looking at bracketology, Missouri, Ole Miss at 7, Mississippi State at 8, Georgia at 9, and then we've got travel, like 3 11s, Vandy, Arkansas, Oklahoma, last 4 in, Texas is 3rd team out. So for people who say there's not much to the tournament, Trav, ask those teams in bracketology, like seeded number 7 and above, and see if there's any intrigue for them.
Yeah, I mean, even these first round games, tomorrow, actually, it's crazy to think about. It's here. Tomorrow night, that late game, Oklahoma, Georgia. I mean, big time implications. Really? And think about Texas and the need to win some games, maybe to impress further this selection committee. But, you know, you think about the teams right now too in this league that you can envision winning at all. Mm-hmm. And there's at least 2, maybe 3, because Alabama sort of got the defibrillator treatment, it felt like, last Saturday in Auburn. Got the paddles.
Yes.
You know, got sort of brought back to life with that win over rival Auburn in overtime down on the plains. You know, and as much as we've talked about Auburn as probably being that one team from the league, boy, Florida more and more has just looked like that type of team. Although, even Florida, not all that long ago, dropped a road game in Stegeman Coliseum against the Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got behind my white trap, 26.
Yeah.
And then stormed back. Georgia wins in the last minute because they made plays. Trev, I'm still not sure Florida's not the best team in the nation.
Right now, I think they are the best team.
Yeah. One at Auburn. And then one thing I've learned from you over the years, you got to have an inside-outside game, which means you've got to have an intimidating front court and guards who can really handle the basketball and shoot free throws. That's Florida, isn't it, Trev?
It is. They've got an inside presence now. They've got a scoring presence on the inside. They play so well together. They remind me more of UConn at this time a year ago as probably any team in the country right now. And again, though, we were talking about Auburn in these kind of terms probably just a week ago.
Yep.
And then, you know, Auburn has the kind of week it had. Yeah, that's the Southeastern Conference this year. So you don't want to put too much on the Gators, you know, down in Duval. I was listening to Sports Talk Radio today in Northeast Florida, and boy, the locals are all in. I can tell you that. I heard about a 20-minute I heard about a 20-minute soliloquy. You may have heard it too, where by the end of it, I was like, boy, 90 UNLV doesn't want any of this Florida team. Yeah. The locals are fired up, and look, I get it with the way that Florida's played. And as you said, a couple of road wins against teams like Alabama and Auburn here down the stretch. It's hard not to really like Todd Golden's team.
It is.
Maybe a little bit of a question of how much have they been battle tested in the past at the, you know, going into this type of situation. Mm-hmm. But that's where the SEC tournament's going to be a good thing for these teams, because starting with the quarterfinals on Friday, you better bring your A game. And really, even in the second round, I guess you could say that about this SEC tournament.
Well, yeah, no question about that. Condon has really come on for Florida. With that inside game, I think second team all SEC and has had some first team moments. I tell you one thing, Trav, that's really concerning, and Auburn's got to clean this up, and I'm sure you can see where this is coming from. Baker Mazzara is a really good player who frankly, Trav, has trouble. Obviously, last year in the NCAA loss in the first round, he was sent packing, and I lost to Yale, sent packing against Alabama. Trav, at some point, they've got to quit coddling him, because they need him on the floor, not in the locker room.
Yeah, and that was big against Alabama last Saturday.
It really was. You
know, he goes out with an obvious flagrant and elbow to Chris Youngblood of Alabama, and sent off for that transgression, and rightfully so. You're right. It feels like sometimes Auburn is Auburn's worst enemy because they've got the people, they've got the talent. Mm-hmm. Bruce Pearl's a really good coach. But those are the type of things you don't worry about as much right now with Florida. Florida isn't just talented and deep. Florida seems to be bought in from 1 through 10 or 11. Yes. On that roster, because they go to the bench, and you can tell guys are engaged throughout the week, because there's no drop off, not so much in terms of their individual performance, but how they run their system and how it doesn't seem to change at all, regardless of who's on the floor. So Florida, obviously in a good spot. I would agree with you. Florida right now going into Nashville, I would have at the top of that list. I still think Auburn has a great chance. Some of the concerns you point to are very well taken. Alabama, you know, if it gets the kind of performances it got from Grant Nelson against Auburn on Saturday, Cheryl was huge coming off the bench, the freshman post. Amori was very big, another post. They needed all three of their bigs to sort of try to counteract what Jonnae Broome gave Auburn, because he was absolutely phenomenal. With that, I'm going to ask you, who's your player of the year in the Southeastern Conference? Is it as simple as Broome, I guess? I mean, is that where you kind of look to first and foremost?
Yeah, probably so. I would say Broome. Look, I'm not sure. And from here, and really in no order, I mean, Mark Sear, certainly, I think, from Alabama is involved with that. Walter Clayton Jr., who you could frankly make an argument for could be the best player in the league. But I think Broome's consistency has done well for him. And even being injured, I think, is what's impressive about.
He's played through some stuff.
Yeah, he really has. There's no doubt about that. And, again, your and Trav, I think both of us love Wade Taylor at A&M and Zakiyle Ziegler at Tennessee.
Really like Ziegler.
Yeah. Those guys, along with Broome and Clayton and Sears, there's no wonder they're all SEC first team, is it, Trav?
No, there isn't. And Bruce Pearl, deservedly so, the SEC Coach of the Year. I think about National Player of the Year when I think of Broome.
Yeah, you know,
Cooper Flagg is a hell of a player, the freshman for Duke. Yes. It's not going to hurt him that he plays for Duke.
Right.
A national brand, no doubt about that. Also, Duke won a head-to-head against Auburn, although it was way back early in the season. Teams that we talk about with Final Four aspirations, like Tennessee, like Auburn, Alabama, certainly Florida, what would be a concern you have maybe for primarily Tennessee, Alabama and Florida, because you mentioned some of the issues that Auburn's going to have to clean up, you know, heading into this postseason. But when you look at Tennessee, is it scoring depth? Is it a situation where, as good as the Vols are defensively, they get into a game where they don't get it necessarily from their top two guys from a scoring perspective? And you know, that could be problematic for Rick Barnes's team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And that's been the problem, Trav, in the playoffs. In the postseason for Tennessee is they D you up unlike anybody else, but they just can't score at times has been the problem. Now, they were better last year, but that will tell how far they go. I think for Alabama, to me, it's the little things. It's shooting free throws. Yeah. It is blocking out on free throws. Turnovers, and you know, can the bigs really step up? I mean, Grant Nelson really caught on fire last year and led them to the Final Four in a lot of ways. So I think that's a concern too. And then you've got there are a couple of in bracketology, Trav, Kentucky's three, and I appreciate the job that Pope has done as head coach this year.
Yeah,
and look. If the refs were letting them play, Kentucky can get you a 97-94 type thing, but they can't play defense real well.
No.
And the opposite with that, who also is a number three, is A&M, who someone described their offense today, Travis. I thought this was really apropos. They said, well, describe their offense. Well, they shoot. They miss, and then they get the rebound and do it again.
Buzz ball out in College Station. Yeah. They are going to win a lot of 50-50 balls under Buzz, but other than Taylor, it's kind of like Tennessee. Yeah. If Chaz Lanier has an off night in the NCAA tournament, if he's not able to be supported enough by Zakai Ziegler, Ganey has done some nice things. Mayshak hit the big shot against Alabama a couple Saturdays ago from about 30 feet. But just in terms of production offensively, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Lanier and Ziegler, you got to think, to carry that team on the offensive end. So it's shaping up to be a heck of a week up in Nashville. Gets underway tomorrow. Basketball all day the next couple of 3 days. Then we'll get into semifinal Saturday, which may actually have more of a feel of a Final Four Saturday some ways. And then we'll see how it goes from there. As far as number one seeds from the SEC right now, you got to think Auburn and Florida have already done enough, you would think, to be in those spots. Maybe Alabama, maybe Tennessee, depending on how the rest of this week goes, not only in Nashville, but really – in some other places around college basketball in the tournaments.
Yeah, you know, the thing that really I wonder, and Trav, when does this take effect? I've got the Quad One records, and we're sharing those together, and we know about the four, but Kentucky's 10-9, A&M's 8-7, Mississippi State's 7-9. I mean, like Ole Miss has won 7. Quad one games. Arkansas's 1-6. Missouri's 1-6. And Lord, even Oklahoma and Vanderbilt have 1-6-5. So, Trav, my question to that is, if these teams can get in, because of who they played against in their own conference, could that give them enough confidence and motivation and seeing quality players that could lead some of these teams that we're still kind of wondering, do we trust them in the NCAA tournament to getting certainly past the first round, maybe into the Sweet 16?
Yeah, let me put it this way. There have been a lot of years where if an SEC team went to a region as the two and Duke was the one, you'd be like, well, that isn't great for the SEC team. I think this year, if an Alabama or a Tennessee ends up as a two with Duke as the one, they're going to say, thank you. Thank you for not sending us to Florida's region or Tennessee, or excuse me, Auburn's region. We'll absolutely go be the two behind Duke as a one, or even Houston perhaps as a one. And Auburn has experience against Houston. Alabama has experience against Houston, some pretty favorable experience, I would say. So no, I think totally, because you know, you look at the, just within the league, every night was a quad one opportunity. Because pretty much had every night, every Saturday, every midweek in this league, you had ranked teams, top 20, top 25 net type of teams going against each other. Yeah. And boy, the ACC this year really, really couldn't speak to that. So we got
Go ahead, Brent. And Trev, and then here's NC State firing a coach that's had how many coaches get fired at basically after after going to the top of the food chain in the NCAA tournament like they did? Trev, a lot of teams would like to have that problem, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think Keats though might have been fired last year, but give his agent a lot of credit. Winning the ACC tournament automatically kicked in an extension for him. So it wasn't even up to really, unless NC State
wanted
to buy out his extension that automatically kicked in.
Yeah.
You know, State was kind of stuck with him for another year, and it kind of deferred the inevitable. And, you know, there's a lot of North Carolina fans right now not happy with Hubert Davis. That's another league another time. But absolutely excited about the SEC tournament up in Nashville. Hey, Brent, let's talk some college football here on the back half of the latest edition of Second Helping. We've got a lot of spring football underway in the Southeastern Conference. We always appreciate your notebook that you get to us as we try to work through the league and kind of consider what's going on. And we'll do this alphabetically based on your notebook. And we'll start right there in Tuscaloosa, where the Crimson Tide, after a week of workouts, has spring break this week.
Yeah.
So get going, kind of an acclimation period, and then come back next week. But obviously a lot of talk about the quarterback situation with Jalen Milroe moving on. Will it be Ty Simpson? Will it be Keelan Russell? Will it maybe be Austin Mack? You've got some changes to that coaching staff as well, most notably Ryan Grubb in as the offensive coordinator. Nick Sheridan will coach the quarterbacks and also serve as a co-offensive coordinator. Alabama, though, you know, it's interesting, not just at Alabama, but other places, a lot of guys out, a lot of guys limited during the spring. And for Alabama, that's big, I think, because of that offensive line and trying to figure out offensive tackle and even a little bit there at the interior for the Crimson Tide.
And look, didn't guys like Caden Proctor, Trav, really need 15 practices?
I've been tooting that for a while. That people hear Caden Proctor's out or limited and go, oh, he's a starter. Well, yeah, he's been a starter, but he needs an offseason. He needs spring.
Yeah.
So I think it is important that he's maybe not getting as much of that as you would like.
Oh, yeah. Well, and everybody's looking at the quarterbacks, and they've had their moments, and Ty Simpson, Austin Mack, Keelan Russell, nothing's going to be decided during the spring. I'll leave this note for Alabama. I'm curious your take on the running backs. They've gotten some criticism, maybe because a lot of these guys, except maybe for Jam Miller, are not what you call household names yet. But boy, I like how these guys run tough. Richard Young. For instance, the Louisiana transfer, Draylen Washington, I think it's going to be interesting. Akeelan Deere. Trav, could this bunch be better than people think?
I think so. I like the way Jam Miller runs the football.
Yes.
And I think in an offense where it's going to probably be more situational run game, he's a guy that's going to maximize runs. It's not always going to be pretty. He does have a nice burst. But he runs with a physicality and a toughness that you like. Jam Miller does. He's a veteran presence at this point. A lot of interest in A.K. Deere coming in from the high school ranks, a guy who can absolutely burn it. Reminds me of Travis Etienne, man, the Clemson sort of version. Now, he's still got a ways to go in terms of off the ball stuff, like pass protection and things like that, but a ton of potential. But right now I'm inclined to think Jam Miller, you know, and also Richard Young coming out of high school a couple of years ago was kind of like that two running back class in 2000. And I think it was 2009 when you had Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
And also Eddie Lacy were in the same class. Eddie Lacy redshirted. Trent was a phenom as a true freshman. Alabama won the national championship. But then in time, when you got down the road a little ways to, say, 2012,
no,
Eddie Lacy was a really, really good back. I think Richard Young could be on a similar type of path for the Crimson Tide in the next few years, because it was Justice Haynes and Richard Young a couple of years ago, and now we know Justice Haynes has moved on to the University of Michigan. What about Auburn? Brent, what's our takeaway right now? I know there's been some schedule news for the Tigers that's pretty
Yeah. And that's the thing I want to get to as much as anything else, is that their opener with Baylor on the road will be played on a Friday night. Now, that would never happen at Auburn, I don't think. But at the same time, this is a Baylor team that really kind of came on strong toward the end of the year. Everybody thought that coaching staff would be gone, but they've kind of retool that again. Jackson Arnold is going to come down with the quarterbacks. Auburn got a couple of tackles. We know how good the receivers could be at this point. I know we've mentioned prostate cancer for Hugh Freeze, and certainly our prayers go to him for that. But I'll say this too about Auburn, Trev, playing every game in September at Jordan Hare, I don't think helped them last year. I think it really is a benefit for them to be able to get on the road and have an early test.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of reminds me a year ago of Arkansas when it went to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
In some ways. So big, big early test on the road in Waco for the Auburn Tigers. What about the Florida Gators, Brent? Because been some rumblings about DJ Lagway and his health. I think some of this is probably carryover from the season.
Yeah, probably. You
know, where he had some health issues, but it sounds alarms for Gator fans, because this guy was paramount to really the turnaround that led to Billy Napier surviving and getting another year in Gainesville.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And you've got supposed to be a shoulder injury and a lower body injury. I'm guessing that lower body injury may be still the hamstring.
Georgia injury. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But he's not the only one. I mean, when they started practice last Thursday, Caleb Banks, who may be the starting nose guard, is out with a foot injury. These are guys. And I'll throw Lagway in there too, who need a spring with their teammates. The secondary, that there's certainly some concern that goes along with that. Look, I think they'll certainly be better. Lagway is a big time, even if he's, 75% or so. But Napier kind of laid it out about who was hurt. He's also talked about still calling the plays. Look, I think there's a bigger buzz. I'm curious if you hear the same thing from Bubba Spurrier joining the staff. And I know we touched on this, than anything I've heard so far over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, certainly is the son of Steve Spurrier. That's going to raise a few eyebrows. And Bubba's been around. I mean, he's been around the block. Yeah, been at South Carolina and I think Mississippi State. And so he's made a couple of stops and now has landed back home in a lot of ways at the University of Florida. What about the thought that more so than ever, Brent, when you consider what DJ Lagway means to that team at that position, coaches have always been pretty cautious with starting quarterbacks this time of year, but with the portal and depth such an issue at quarterback, more so than it's probably ever been.
Right.
You really have to take great care of a guy like DJ Lagway. You absolutely cannot put him in harm's way in any form or fashion in March.
No.
Because as we saw last year, you know, you were in a good spot last year. You know, when you had the quarterback situation you had at Florida, you don't have that now.
No,
you know, you have Lagway, and then it's right off a cliff.
Yeah.
It's a much different deal. You know, the days of when Alabama had Jalen Hurts, Tua, Mac Jones, all in the same room. I think we're done with those.
Well, and Trev Graham Mertz is out of eligibility too.
That's what I mean. You had Mertz and Lagway last year. You're not going to have that situation.
No.
No. In 2025. So could be some of that maybe coming into play a little bit as well. What about the Georgia Bulldogs? Looks like they're just getting cranked up, Brent.
Yep.
A lot of interest in that quarterback situation as well. I think a lot of people closer to that program will tell you they're more interested or just as interested, kind of like Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talk about quarterback, but a lot of people also interested in the offensive line.
Yes.
In Athens, Mike Bobo is going to be there as the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
And, you know, I think an improved offensive line under Stacy Searles. I think Nate Frazier back for a second year has a lot of potential at the running back position. And once again, you can't say Georgia didn't turn over a lot of rocks trying to upgrade at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, they really did. And I think that's something they really needed to do. Now, Dylan Bell is also coming back. And I think that's going to be a big deal for them. And you mentioned him before, Zachariah Branch.
Yeah.
The kid from Southern Cal. Then they've got Noah Thomas for an A&M. I chuckle about this because this is typical Southeastern Conference stuff. But, Trev, well, what about the weeping and gnashing of teeth over Mike Bobo not going anywhere? Trev, that contract goes through. Did you notice? Through the 2026 season. So that means that this year and next year, and look, when we laugh about this a little bit just because of Georgia fans' reaction, and look, is Bobo the greatest coordinator ever? No. But, look, a lot of this wasn't his fault. He had the wide receivers who led the nation in drops. He had a revolving door with the offensive line. They had good running backs. They're developing Nate Frazier. But Bobo's around, and can we say it's not all on him?
Yeah, I worry more about the offensive line than I do Mike Bobo.
I do too, by far. Absolutely. Because
they're losing guys from an offensive line that had its struggles a year ago. Now, more than a little bit of that was injury related in fairness to that group. But it could be that Mike Bobo's son, Drew, is the starting center for Georgia in 2025. So I think Mike Bobo can look a lot better if Georgia blocks better and Georgia catches the football better.
Yeah.
I think that could help the Georgia Bulldogs. A pretty good bit. What about the LSU Tigers, Brent? Some interesting news here in the last few days because we had talked about Bo Davis moving on from LSU to the NFL's New Orleans Saints, the outstanding defensive line coach and recruiter. And Brian Kelly goes to Kyle Williams, the former LSU great, who most recently was coaching in the high school ranks, I believe, in Ruston, Louisiana. So no question about Kyle Williams in terms of pedigree as a player, both at LSU and in the National Football League. You think about him in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills come to mind pretty quickly. But an interesting move from Brian Kelly. I think one that certainly pulls on the heartstrings of LSU fans. But the bottom line is they still had a lot of work to do, a lot of ground to cover to make the improvements they needed to make.
The main thing is it's another change.
Yeah.
It's another coach at that position that's been a revolving door in a lot of ways too. And Trev, I can tell you from hearing and talking to, the LSU media. People were crushed with Bo leaving. They thought Bo would answer a lot of things. Of course, you know, when things like that happened, you know, the questions coming up about, you know, are there some internal problems here? And I'm not necessarily getting on that, but but Bo's a loss. There's no doubt about that. And look, travel on the other side of the ball, they're losing 4 out of 5 on that offensive line. Will Campbell and Emory Jones, they'll be gone, what, first day NFL or certainly the second in the draft. In this league, and we always say that this is what Kelly is going through, you know, I love Nussmeier and what he can do at quarterback, but how is that line of scrimmage going to be for LSU?
Yeah, LSU offensively, you got both your starting tackles, right? Moving on, Will Campbell expected to be a top 10 pick in the upcoming NFL draft. So questions to answer along both those lines of scrimmage for the Tigers in 2025. What about the Ole Miss Rebels and Lane Kiffin? Boy, I have to get caught up on Lane's portal work every year because I see some of the names. I go, oh, wow. Like Antonio Kite, the defensive back who started out at Alabama, right?
He went
to Auburn. Now he's going to be at Ole Miss. Sage Ryan feels like he was around with like Burt Jones at LSU.
Yeah, really.
And it feels like Sage Ryan played 27 seasons at LSU. Well, now apparently he's at Ole Miss. And then the offensive additions that you've come to expect from Lane on an annual basis, with a lot of that having to do with the skill positions. And I like the pickup of Luke Haas. And boy, Ole Miss has done a number on Arkansas here. Where the portal is concerned, three more Razorbacks coming over this time around.
I can tell you, talking to some Ole Miss people, they're not at all sad about putting one on Arkansas by any stretch of the imagination. Listen, I will be excited to see what Austin Simmons can do at quarterback. But Trav, I'm concerned for them, but I think they're going to be okay. Walter Nolan, Princely Yu, Trey Amos, gone from that defense. They've got coming back Centurion Perkins, Xavier Harris, Pete Golding, and what is third year at Ole Miss, and which really makes you wonder, could this be the playoff team this year that they were looking at last year?
Yeah, absolutely. That will continue to be the question for Lane and the Ole Miss Rebels, no doubt about that. You know, I saw this in your notes about Tennessee, one of several SEC teams that's going to conduct a spring game of some sort.
Yeah.
Who knows? I think maybe some teams are looking at tug of war, car wash-a-thons. Who knows what they're going to do. But Tennessee, I don't think Alabama's going to be televised. You're seeing where a couple of these teams at least are going to have some semblance of a practice or a scrimmage or something, but not even for stream options are you going to be able to catch some of these on SEC Network Plus or ESPN Plus. So pay-per-view, none of that. You're going to have to show up on April 12th to see some of these.
Well, I wonder if we're going to have to move the transfer portal out of April, Trav, and just have one in December. And maybe after that, we still have spring games. I just don't like that. I think fans deserve a spring game, and with the money they pay, I think what the thing that gets me with this is, you know, the number of hotels and restaurants and shops and so forth.
Local economy.
Although,
if you don't televise them or stream them,
maybe you
might draw bigger crowds. If the only way to see these are to show up, you know, that could end up maybe being a not so bad thing for those local businesses.
And listen, by the way, would you believe this when he first got there, Trav? After 4 years, Heupel was 37-15.
Yeah. Very, very impressive. Forgettable performance against Ohio State in the playoff. Yeah. But the bottom line is he got them there in a 12-team field. And now that becomes the standard. You know, and that's what needed to happen at Tennessee after about a 20-year layoff. Somebody had to get that standard reestablished, and it looks like Josh Heupel has absolutely done that. And also, you know, back to the streaming and the television for these spring games, I guess unless one of the over-the-air networks for ESPN, like ESPN, ESPN2, SEC Network, ESPNU, unless they pick it up to televise it, if it's left on the schools to handle it from the stream perspective, the schools, the programs can say, well, we're just not going to do it.
That's right.
Oh, now, you know, ESPN, I think with its deal can come in and say, well, we're putting you on ESPN, so it's going to be on. But I think if it's a plus situation, a pure stream situation, that's where you can go without any type of broadcast for some of these events. So we talk about, you know, the Texas schools, Texas and Texas A&M. It seems like Texas is going to try to make a living in the portal where that defensive front is concerned. Yeah. And I thought they covered for it quite nicely.
They did. You know,
after 2023, but boy, that's a premium position and it's hard to get it right, whether it's grassroots recruiting and or the portal, but that's where Texas is headed right now.
Oh, yeah. Cole Brevard from Purdue, 6'5", 330. Travis Shaw from North Carolina. Got one from Ohio State with Hero Canoe at 6'5", 305. And they've also got Justice Terry that we've heard a good bit about, the number two guy to go along with that. And edge rushers, Colin Simmons, Trey Moore, and Ethan Burke. Trev, the Arch Manning and that offense will get all the tension. The reason they're in the playoffs to me is because their defense and what they've done there.
Yeah, they really picked it up last season. There was a stretch where it was more about the Texas defense, an elongated stretch where it was more about Texas defense than Sark's offense or Quinn Ewers, or those guys. Now they did it when they needed to. For the most part, especially in that win over Arizona State there in the college football playoff. But sure, defense did a nice job for the Longhorns for the most part in 2024. What about Texas A&M? I know you've got some interesting nuggets here about that offense, and it's kind of a comings and goings because Connor Wiegman has moved on from the quarterback position. And we've talked about some of the changes at wide receiver with some notable names moving on from that Texas A&M offense, but it looks like on paper, at least both at wide receiver and tight end, Colin Klein, the offensive coordinator for the Aggies, still going to have a pretty good bit to work with.
I'll tell you what, and the other guy Le'Veon Moss, Trav, how much of that hurt them last year when he left early for the rest of the season?
Yeah, he is legit. There's no doubt about that. You know, we talked about Noah Thomas moving on from A&M to Georgia at the wide receiver position. What about Amari Nyblak? We talk about some of these three-time guys now in the portal. Really? Nyblak went from Alabama to Texas, and now he's on to Texas A&M. So, well, you really do. You got to literally have a sort of real-time roster for these teams to try to keep up with some of these guys. Well, Brent, there you go. There is some college football talk for you from within the Southeastern Conference. Anything else, Brent, before we get out of here on a Tuesday night?
Just a few things outside the SEC. Folks need to pay attention to how well Clemson is recruiting right now and the noise that they are making. Florida State starts next week. Miami is on spring break, but they need to get Reuben Bain healthy again on that defensive line. I think that's going to be interesting. Carson Beck is at practice. Now, obviously, he's not doing anything, frankly, but
is his car?
Yeah.
How's he getting to practice?
I don't I don't think they've gotten anything stolen.
They have like a cane train at UM, where it moves you around campus or something, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Trev, how many coaches got a $2 million raise like Dan Lanning did? 11 mil a year now. And look, you and I both remember when Dan Lanning was at Georgia, and everybody loved him. 6-year contract. Well, what now? Kirby leads everybody with 13 mil a year. But what about Lanning being rewarded for what he's done?
They don't remember you as the Big Ten champs real good when a Big Ten team blows your doors off.
Yeah, true.
The Rose Bowl. But, you know, end of the day, that is your Big Ten champs for 2024. So to the victor goes the spoils, I guess, Brent.
Well, and Trav, we'll end on this real quick. We need a Pops report, and we know how much of a golf aficionado you are. Boy, this is a great week here with that Players, isn't it?
Yeah, the Players set to get underway out at the stadium course in Sawgrass. And so, professional golf is in such flux right now.
Yeah, it really is.
Leadership questions really for both entities. So, but it's still a fun week. If you've never been, you should go. The golf course, regardless of the field, is capable of being the star of the event. Fridays at the Players are a party unlike any you'll probably encounter. But it's a great week. It's a great week for the First Coast and the Jacksonville area. Pops is pretty much status quo. I checked on him the other day. He was doing some type of yard work. He's piddling Pops now is what he is. I get him out every once in a while. I think I can see some college baseball or, you know, some college hoops, try to keep him busy. Just try to relieve Nana, you know, by taking him on. But no, in all seriousness, Pops, doing good, doing really good.
Good. Glad about that. Always glad to be with you. And and sometime in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a grandchild added to the Beard family. We're
going to be a two-time Pops.
That's right. We're excited about that. More details to come. But as you and I were talking before, we never quite know when these babies are coming. No. Travis and I both have two girls, and they basically decided when they were going to come, and they decided a whole lot else on their own since that happened too.
Or when they weren't going to come.
Yeah, so absolutely.
You just never know, but no, we're excited for you, Brent, and can't wait to celebrate with you the newest arrival to the Beard family. Look forward to that. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Brent, always a lot of fun. We'll do it again next week.
Good. Look forward to it, bud. Take care.
For Brent Beard, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here for Second Helping on the Ryer on YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube as of yet, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on Ryer on YouTube. And a thumbs up for the show for Brent and myself. That would be greatly appreciated as well. For Brent, I'm Travis. Until next time. So long, everybody.